Belichick Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Hi and hello and Merry Christmas, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Damashek Football Program, presented as always by our pals over at Zaxby's. Go get you. What a way to celebrate the season.
It is so good to be here, Dave.
Some of them fingers and salads.
Christmas Eve. It's great to be with you.
Yes. Happy Christmas Eve to you and yours, Handsome
Thank you,
Hank.
And the same to you, Dave. And the Damashek family.
Have you gotten all your shopping done in advance of Week 17?
Almost, yes. But the next stage is the wrapping. Like, I've done the shopping, but now I've got to wrap those gifts up, and I don't enjoy that.
At this late hour, you still have shopping to be done?
You know, the things that you don't enjoy doing, you delay them, and then you end up, you know, it'll be 11 o'clock tonight. Santa's just about to come down the chimney, and I'm going to still be wrapping gifts.
Do you put cookies out?
Of course.
You do?
We're going to bake some cookies this afternoon. Santa also, I've noticed, likes a pretty strong drink to be left for him as well. Like something like
really?
A couple of fingers of something strong to get him through the night.
Excellent. Also, happy Hanukkah to everybody out there, too.
What night are we on?
I'm not sure.
Exactly. You must know, Dave.
I should know. Listen, I grew up in Pittsburgh, in Wilkinsburg, PA, and I was the only Jewish kid in my elementary school class, and I still feel a little haunted by what would happen. Did you used to have in your British elementary school, did they used to have a music teacher, like once a week you would go and you would sing songs with him or her around the piano?
Yes.
We had to do that. I never enjoyed it, period. I was not a songbird.
Yeah, you're not a good singer?
Oh, I have a beautiful, beautiful voice.
I would have thought that would be just about your the best time of the day for you.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm.
There you go. I mean, this is good.
I didn't know. I wasn't
going to. Maybe.
Wasn't going to stop first.
Maybe the fresh takes should just be us singing carols.
Maybe me, you, and Spaghetti should just spend the rest of our work day before we out and we just go caroling around
after
the
this,
cubicles.
That's what we should do. Just go to every person's desk, the three of us,
rum,
and just sing.
Eddie Spaghetti, happy holidays
Eddie?
To you.
Are you up for that?
Are you more of like a baritone or what?
I think we're gonna need a baritone in there.
I have a decent amount of range. I could do either. I practice the David Bowie, Bing Crosby.
Okay, great. Piece. Do that. Why don't you know what? Give me a treat.
I could alternate depending on whatever you guys pick.
You be the Bing in this equation, Handsome. You be the Bowie in this equation, and provide me and the listener and the viewer with a little treat, a little holiday treat. Give us a little drummer boy.
I don't know.
It's just like, that's all he does. I can do that all day.
All right, you know what? Okay. I don't know.
Let's
but what I do
on.
Remember is in music class to finish my my story of where some of my self-esteem issues were fed and tweaked was in that class, we would have to do all those songs. Well, all the Christmas songs, and then about three quarters of the way through the music class, she would go, as I was the only Jewish kid, the music teacher would go like, okay, everybody, now let's do a song for David. And everybody in the class would go like,
oh, no.
It's not my fault, I didn't suggest it.
Right.
I don't want to be doing any songs like that.
What's a Hanukkah carol?
Well, the good one is Dreidel. It's the Dreidel, 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 I made it out of clay. That's a fine song.
Right.
But the weird one is that Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the horror. I mean, it's a terrible song.
Right.
And so I don't blame my peers back then, my third grade peers, for resenting having to detour sing. From like Jingle Bells. That's a fun song, you know?
Jingle Bells, interesting fact, I was at my son's Christmas concert and they pointed out that Jingle Bells, there's no mention of Christmas in there. Jingle Bells could just as easily be a summer song.
Well, except
you're jingling
that you're dashing
all the way.
The snow.
Oh, well, okay, you may be dashing through some snow, but there's no mention, there's no reason it couldn't, you know.
Change snow to sand, like then you're on to something, right?
Could be mid-November.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, listen, week 17, I fancy the matchups. I will say again to the schedule makers, as we're already seeing now.
Some great games on Sunday.
Right. Who's going to be playing whom in 2020? People have already turned the page. It's crazy, in fact, that people are already, hey, a lot to get excited about if you're a team of blank for 20. We don't know any. Stop evaluating schedules, strength of schedule,
right,
for 10 months from now. It's ridiculous.
I could admit, though, as a fan of my favorite team, the Miami Dolphins, I kind of turned the page to 2020 in, like, July.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I think this is going to be a fun episode as we do a little NFL-ing here. We're going to ask some if questions about our game from the last couple of years and see if we can't figure out
how we could
change history.
Because not only is it the end of the year in a few days' time, Dave, it's the end of a decade. So we should look back at how things might have changed this decade if things are going differently. And you know what I think about the NFL. I think it's your best work.
Oh,
I think it is, you know, over the last 10 years, you've come a long way, and I would say the NFL is probably the best thing you've done. So congratulations to you at the end of this decade, really.
Well, we will be doing early.
You don't know how to respond to that.
I appreciate it. In 2020, we will be doing early in January. I'm not sure exactly the date. I wish I could provide it for you. We are going to be doing. We did a sort of expanded. If you don't know the NFL, Google it, dig it up, and it's the animated whiteboard of.
Terrific
let's
stuff.
Hey, what if the Tuck rule had gone the other way, and we extrapolate out how it would have changed NFL history? We did that. Brian Baldinger. Steve Weish, Cynthia Freeland, Daniel Jeremiah, and others gathered round, and we did, we sort of assessed these things as a group, and we did a number of tentpole events in the Super Bowl era
right. To
see how we could change NFL history with that.
What I want to dig in.
It is a good crew. It was a powerhouse.
I wish I'd been invited in a way.
I can't really see. We're bending the space time continuum with the NFLs. I can't really accommodate that. But this is a make-good right now.
We could do an NFL of what if I had been invited to the NFL.
I think better still, let's tackle these NFLs here. One, I think, especially is going to intrigue you. But I do say, oh, here we go, into the fresh takes presented by Zaxby's, home of the famous fingers, wings,
and salads.
Go get you some, you know, put it on your belly alongside.
This time of year, nothing but, you know, like, you're going to, I mean, I don't know whether it happens so much in the U.S. I think you guys have taken Thanksgiving as your eating holiday, but in other places around the world, Christmas is a time of year to really stuff yourself. Somewhere in there, like it or not, you're going to have a salad.
That's true. Well done.
Right?
Well done.
You should have a salad, because you can't just keep eating candy and all the other stuff. Just, you know, make time. This is an appeal to all of you guys. Make time for salad.
Yeah, and I think he's talking to you, Santa. You know,
right.
I'm not your
especially
mom,
Santa.
But I think Mrs. Claus wouldn't.
I know
mind.
What it gets like. Sometimes you're working hard. You know, you eat bad food because you're on a schedule. You've got to quickly get all those gifts wrapped and made and then delivered around the world. When you get home, your temptation is, okay, I'm going to just sit down and eat an entire box of chocolates. No.
What do you think Santa's up to? Does he just stuff his face all year long? Okay. Is that why he gets? Because you can.
I think of Santa as a bear. I think he hibernates for about 4 months.
He must, because really, you know, everybody makes an excuse for him. Yeah, he's on a cookie diet, everybody points out. But that's only the one night. He has to do
it's
that.
It's not just the cookies, by the way. I mean, like I say, I leave out a couple fingers of
booze,
prime
for, him
booze
too.
For him. By the time he gets home, I would imagine Christmas Day, Santa is like, I am not getting out of bed.
Hey,
I am feeling
who
terrible.
Do you think has the easier lifestyle and benefits more, has a certain amount of celebrity, Santa or Joe Lenardi, the bracketologist? Like they
once
but
a
like
year.
Santa comes out, you know, for like a fortnight, you hear some buzz, he's getting ready, and he's getting your lists together, and then he goes on his night-long journey and everything, and then he just, you know, goes back
gone.
To wherever he goes to. Same thing with Joe Lenardi.
I would say Santa
Chief
works.
Bracketologist.
Santa works way harder.
You think so?
Yeah, because Santa, I mean, think about it. He starts in August, September. You just don't think about it until it gets to the season turns.
If I weren't lazy, I would just make a list to just completely debunk what the bracketologist does. I should just list the 68 teams that are going to make the tournament now. I bet you I'm only off by like three or four. Same thing as he'll be, and he'll get patted on the back. Hey, he hit on 97% of his picks of who's getting into the... Yeah, there were only 3 to 7 that were in question.
By the same token,
on the bubble.
Dave, you could deliver gifts to all the kids around the world on the December 23rd. That would put Santa in a real bind.
That just really would.
Hey, Santa, I scooped you. Bad luck. Mm-hmm. I got gifts to everyone on the 23rd.
Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, what is the best food holiday?
I mean, I'm not from your country.
Yeah, what's your best?
And it's Christmas. Because it's the same, but it's the same idea as Thanksgiving here. You eat an awful lot, you know, in the lead up and especially on the day, and then you have all of the leftovers to continue eating afterwards. Plus, there are tins of these types of chocolate called Quality Streets in the UK where I come from. In a massive tin, like this big. Mm. And inside are all different, like, you know, you have some chocolates with cream inside, you have some caramels, you have all those kind of things. I mean,
we have those in the States.
Do you?
Yes.
I've never seen like a tin of.
I don't know about a tin, also, but you get those boxes with the nice also, caramels and the creams and the chocolates.
The chocolate and all candy in this country.
I know you disparage our chocolates.
Third or fourth tier. But so what you would do is you'd sit down and you'd watch TV for, let's say, 48 hours, and you would eat, you know, a couple tins of those chocolates. You just keep going, and then at the end, there's always 71 coconut chocolate things.
Oh, I see. Not in my box of chocolates. The box of chocolate, the item that gets left behind are the ones with fruit.
Or marzipan. I mean, yeah, there's like one which the whole family is just like, none of us want this.
The caramel.
You're hoping that someone comes to visit that.
That's the thing, that we were born in man's recorded history. There have been a number of key events
that have
improved things, as we've talked about. At the turn of the millennium or thereabouts, somebody had the brilliant idea. You know what's good is dark chocolate, but you know what's also good is salt, and when we combine those two, even better. Those dark chocolate, salted caramel treats.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the peak of man's, I think it's all downhill from here. But in the meantime, let's do it then. Let's jump in.
Let's have a fresh take.
To the fresh takes, and like I say, let's do a little live action. And if Ellen, what do you think about that?
I'm up for it.
You ready for that?
I'm very excited for this, yeah.
What are we doing? Are we going to throw out some ideas, or do you have some ideas for us, Dave?
I do. I have three in mind that I'd like to tackle here. I want to talk about what if, well, the two of these are kind of combined, but one is, what if Alshon Jeffrey, if you recall back in the divisional round in NOLA, mm-hmm. The week before the very controversial non-PI call against the Rams, what if Alshon Jeffrey had caught the pass from Nick Foles and the Eagles had won that game? What would have happened? I want to do that one. I want to do Lamar Jackson now tracking to the MVP. What if one of maybe two or three teams that really it would have made sense for them
picked
to grab
32
him
in that draft. That seems criminal now, especially based on what he did last weekend.
So I want to debate that, but let's start here. The 2017 draft, there are three quarterbacks of note. Mitchell Trubisky goes second. The Bears trade up to get the UNC star instead of Deshaun Watson, the national champion, the guy who had proven himself to be clutch on the biggest stage against the 21st century college football powerhouse, Alabama Crimson Tide. And also Patrick Mahomes, more of a wild card coming out of school. Mm-hmm. Beauty was in the eye of the beholder there. The Bears, though, ignore the latter two and instead go and get Mitchell Trubisky. Like I say, they trade with San Francisco to move up one spot to ensure that they get Trubisky. The Bengals at number 10 could also have potentially taken Deshaun Watson or Patrick Mahomes. As it was when they got Trubisky, the Bears went 5-11. They fired John Fox. Let's say instead that they take Deshaun Watson. If John Fox is the coach of Deshaun Watson, based on the track record that Fox had as a defensive-minded guy, he was successful with Cam in Carolina, and he was successful even for that 1 year with Tim Tebow in Denver, relatively speaking. So there is some track record that a dynamic quarterback plus John Fox equals results on the NFL stage. Watson, great for a few weeks before he got hurt in his rookie season in Houston. You'll recall that. He would have been great for the Bears. Let's say, for whimsy's sake, that Deshaun Watson doesn't suffer the same injury that he went down with in practice in Houston. So what does that then mean? Matt Nagy, a big name that offseason based on the success in Kansas City, learning at the knee of Andy Reid. Well, John Fox would have kept the job. Matt Nagy would not have moved up to Chicago to take over for him. They continue to ride with John Fox and Deshaun Watson. So that means Matt Nagy goes to Indianapolis because he'll feel remembered. Like I say, he was a hot name. Frank Reich has been relatively successful there, especially in 2018, but
not their first choice either.
That's the trick. They did not, it felt like they wanted anybody but Frank Reich there, so it stands to reason that Matt Nagy would have been more appealing to them to line up with Andrew Luck and that. So where does Frank Reich end up going? Do they still go and get Matt Patricia, or does Reich go to the Lions? Or does he go to the Titans?
But Frank Reich at the time was, I mean, he was such a late choice. That Colts job was only open after it was rejected by McDaniels that I'm not even sure he goes anywhere. I think he probably sticks around with the Eagles.
Oh, so that does make sense, right? Because he was, as you say, right, very late
in
the game.
It was so late in the process. Everyone thought that all the jobs were taken at that point.
Fair. The Bears, do they still trade for Khalil Mack?
That's the interesting question. If you have Deshaun Watson as a Chicago Bear now, do you feel like you need to add the pieces they did to their defense in order to be successful? Or instead, are you like, well, look, our offense is set. We've got this really mobile young quarterback. We should be adding pieces around him rather than taking away draft collateral that we instead spend on Khalil Mack. Because if you remember, even without Mack, that defense is pretty good.
The defense would be very good. I think that they do still, when Khalil Mack is out there, there were some teams out there chasing him. I think that the Bears probably do still go and get him, and they still win the NFC North last year. But the Packers also were in the running for Khalil Mack. They were trying to get him themselves. They weren't willing to leverage both of their first-round picks to get him. But if he does wind up going to Green Bay, obviously that swings things and shakes up the Packers as constituted now. They wouldn't have signed the guys that they did this offseason. Right. They would have instead embraced Khalil Mack, and you wonder how mightily that would have swung things in and whether or not you would even have right now the situation if I'm confusing myself at this point with this. Would they have moved on and started a whole new regime there if Khalil Mack defense around? I think Mike McCarthy is still in Green Bay.
Yep.
But the Jets also made an offer, which would have been a game changer for Todd Bowles and the Jets, because Todd Bowles was kind of shorthanded, and I still feel bad for Todd Bowles, because as soon as he's pushed out the door, then they spend on C.J. Mosley and Le'Veon Bell and the rest of those guys. They wouldn't have gotten Mosley. They may not have gotten Bell if they had Khalil Mack. The Bears, though, would have beaten the Eagles in the wild card round game that they lost to Nick Foles and company.
Right.
The two goalposts on that last second kick there, except they wouldn't have been in the wild card game. Watson is better than Mitchell Trubisky is. So Watson, I think we can make an argument, would have been worth at least one extra win versus Mitchell Trubisky's Bears a year ago, which means the Bears would have been a two seed. That means the Rams at the Saints in the divisional round. There were some bad calls that send the Rams to Chicago, where they'd gotten whipped the month prior. So the Bears, if they are playing the Rams, as we've seen already, they had just beaten them the month before. It stands to reason that the Bears would have beaten the California Pretty Boys once again, and the Bears would have wound up in that Super Bowl playing the New England Patriots a year ago. What do you think of that?
I think that is exciting to consider. Like that would have been a pretty awesome Super Bowl.
And I wonder where Mitchell Trubisky is right now.
Especially because we know that Deshaun Watson this season, in reality, in Houston, found a way to lead his team past the Patriots.
Now, you know what? That's a point I hadn't considered, because I was thinking, well, the Bears get to the Super Bowl. That turns things around. That shakes things up. I you know what? In a game that was as close as it was, if that thing tracks in the same basic direction,
with a better defense, probably.
Probably
than the Rams,
a slightly better defense. Yeah, right.
Albeit without Khalil Mack.
Eddie Spaghetti?
thing about that's interesting with this draft, and let's go back first with Mitch Trubisky, is I think Trubisky found a way to the best possible scenario for him.
Do
because
you?
He got himself a chance. Well, he ended up with Jim Nagy the first year, where he kind of had this offense in a way catered to him, and he looked okay. And he had this defense that was built by Ryan Pace that's, you know, not, I'm not going to say an all-time defense, but one of the better defenses we've seen the last few years. And that, obviously, it's fallen apart a bit. And now every Bears fan wishes that this NFL, where you have Deshaun Watson coming to the Bears, obviously that team would be a lot better. Maybe the defense is not as loaded as it is now. Maybe there's no Khalil Mack. But Pace has found a way to build a pretty good foundation of a defense. And right now the NFL is, if you have a good enough defense, you have a quarterback who's of the elite level, you seemingly will go pretty far in the playoffs. And I think, obviously, that Bears team is not that there would be a Patriots-esque dynasty where they'd win six Super Bowls with Deshaun Watson, but I would not be shocked if they were a multi-Super Bowl-winning team with Deshaun if he was taken second or third, depending on if they trade up.
The truth is, next offseason is not going to be Deshaun Watson, obviously, but they could well be looking. I know, Dave, you don't want me to look ahead to 2020 yet, but they could well be looking for that guy to replace Mitchell Trubisky, and it could be someone like Cam Newton, who is, you know, at least a similar type of quarterback to Deshaun Watson in terms of his mobility, assuming that he's able to come back from the injuries he's had this season. And, you know, bring together that team in a way that Trubisky, I don't think, ever will be.
Yeah, and you've made me reconsider, too, because it seems the X factor in my head, at least for last year's Bears and this team, too, is Khalil Mack. They still have to trade for him. He did herald the rise of the Bears defense, but even without him, they still are...
They're a good defense.
A top 5 to 10 defense, even without Khalil Mack. And the trade-off is, even if they don't get Khalil Mack, you're right about Deshaun Watson, and if they run a clever attack with Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard, that thunder and lightning right. with Deshaun Watson back there too, and they still have Allen Robinson and the young speedsters around them, that offense would be at a completely different level.
Brought in because of what he did under Andy Reid with the Chiefs offense. And with a quarterback like Deshaun Watson, who's someone who's also a threat with their legs more than Mitchell Trubisky is, you add a different dynamic to the offense that actually can get him closer to the
Chiefs.
So
maybe they do still fire John Fox. And
I mean, I, you know, like Foxy a lot. He seems like a great guy, but his time was probably up.
Yeah, I know. But the thing that he did well was he was a defensive side of the guy and said, just go make plays on the other side
but
and give us
not
enough
points. But in the
for him in Carolina.
Now, it did, but that's still far enough in the rearview mirror to say that that's not necessarily how you win in the NFL any longer.
But you know what? Deshaun Watson does not shrink on the big stage. Maybe you can make a case. I have made the case that Jared Goff did shrink on the Super Bowl stage. I don't think Deshaun Watson in the same spot would suffer.
No. And I think it's much harder.
I think you're right. I think the Bears would have beaten the Patriots now that we're talking about.
You know, you look at, like, post-Super Bowl, when everyone talked about how the Patriots managed to beat the Rams, and the Rams had an explosive offense pretty much all season, or at least until the end of it. It was all about, well, this defense came up with a perfect game plan. They had two weeks. They had the perfect game plan to shut down Jared Goff. That's because you look at that Rams offense, as great as it was all season, and as much as we talk about Sean McVay as a genius, and, like, at least it's a scheme. It does things. Deshaun Watson is a player that half the time, if it breaks down, he can make things happen with his legs, with just his mobility and his ability off script. And that's not something you can necessarily game plan for as easily.
Well, see, there we go. I didn't even know that that's where we were going to wind up, but we've just given you your
Bears,
second
you
Lombardi.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know.
Yep.
Yeah, and there's so many high hopes in 2019 that didn't work out, but now we just gave you one retroactively.
You one for 2018.
Next up, this one's going to hit a little closer to home for you, Hanson.
Oh, dear.
It's Lamar Jackson, the Ballyhoo 2018 class, already paying dividends for Bills fans. Obviously, for Ravens fans, not as much for Jets and Cardinals and Browns. Did I say the Browns yet? No.
You didn't say the Browns yet, but now you have.
Anyway, the big ticket item, it seemed, was going to come down to Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield, and it turns out at least 2 years in that the guy who you really wanted to get was Lamar Jackson. I don't know if Bills fans would agree with that at this point, but either way, let's do that. What if one of two or three other teams had taken Lamar Jackson? Of course, Lamar Jackson, the last pick in the first round, in 2018. He goes to the Baltimore Ravens. Let's start here. Let's say at number 21, the Cincinnati Bengals, instead of taking the center, Billy Price, instead take Lamar Jackson. I advocated for that in advance of that draft, the day of the draft. I said when that pick came up, I said the Bengals would be wise to take Lamar Jackson, and obviously I haven't seen anything since then to
didn't
shake
happen.
Me off that opinion.
Yeah, it didn't happen.
No, it didn't happen, but right. I think it should have happened.
Yeah. But if he gets to the Bengals, why doesn't he get taken ahead of there by the Miami Dolphins, who had a need at quarterback? Lamar Jackson is from that state, in fact, from that city, played his high school football there, and clearly would have helped my team and avoided the embarrassment of what they've been going through over the last few months.
Well, let's think about this. So I do want to talk about the Dolphins. Okay. Let's say that the Bengals take him at number 21. Just like was true in Baltimore, and just like the old guard coaches always say, well, you can learn at the knee of our incumbent quarterback. They wouldn't have just jammed Lamar Jackson.
Nothing like
in there.
A guy like Lamar Jackson with all his talent. You add on Andy Dalton and everything he could teach him about football, and we'd be cooking.
I mean, yeah.
He'd be an MVP.
You think
candidate.
Lamar Jackson's good now?
Yeah.
Right. So instead of Joe Flacco, it's Andy Dalton, and Andy Dalton would have started in 2018. But if Andy Dalton gets hurt, I do think so, yeah.
For 2 weeks.
Do you think Marv cuts the figure of a guy who would say, well, we drafted the guy in the first round, we have to start him. He would have rolled with Andy Dalton until Andy Dalton
made
him.
Marv is no longer employed there, so it might have been wise for him to say that.
He should have, but that doesn't mean he would have. I think he goes with Andy Dalton, but let's say Andy Dalton still gets hurt like he did about two-thirds of the way through the season. So then they don't put Jeff Driskel in because, of course, now they have the first round pick in Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson goes in there, but behind that lousy offensive line, there wouldn't have been A.J. Green. A.J. Green was hurt, so he would have struggled. Yes, Joe Mixon is a nice runner to have behind him, but with that bum D, like we always talk about with this Ravens team in 2019, that offense couldn't really make a go of it if it was a mediocre defense.
Right.
If the defense couldn't turn away most offensive drives, it's hard to possess the ball and spin the clock the way Lamar Jackson's offense does. And so the bottom line, he might be a starter, Lamar Jackson. I don't think they would have moved on from him after five or six games worth of evidence. I think Lamar Jackson would have been a starter, but let's keep in mind, they wouldn't have had A.J. Green again this year. A.J. Green still down and out, and Tyler Boyd, an occasional guy out on the field. The bottom line is, I think...
Well, they wouldn't have had Greg Roman. And, you know,
they wouldn't have had Greg Roman.
The coincidence of him being the guy that also designed that offense for Colin Kaepernick.
I think that's exactly right. I think our perception of Lamar Jackson right now...
I don't want to say that he is a system quarterback, but I certainly think he's been helped by being with a guy.
I think that's the upshot of this. As teams look back, or fans of teams, if you're the Jags, if you're the Bengals, if you're the Dolphins fan, you might look back and say, man, we should have taken that guy. I can't believe we blew it on that one. I don't think it's the same as a Bears fan looking back and saying, we could have had Deshaun Watson, but instead we got Mitchell Trubisky. It's the same sort of dicey logic as we should have taken Patrick Mahomes. Well, a lot of people didn't necessarily love Patrick Mahomes, yeah. And Patrick Mahomes wouldn't necessarily be a superstar in any system. I think that's also the case with Lamar Jackson. And I think that what it ultimately does, what this little exercise does, is it honors John Harbaugh and the Ravens, who not only brought Lamar Jackson in, but built an entire offense around him. And Lamar Jackson standing in the pocket, trying to jam him into being something that he is not, would have had less successful results. But let's talk about your Miami Dolphins. If he goes to Miami, I think that one gets a little more interesting.
Well, let's be honest. Like, the Dolphins picked a guy who they decided more than like 12 to 18 months later was surplus to requirements in Minkah Fitzpatrick. So that draft does not look like they made the pick that they at least wanted to at
so
the time.
So instead of Minkah,
they're sitting there. Why not Lamar?
That's right. And if the Steelers wind up in the playoffs, they can thank the Dolphins for taking Minkah, who are quick to move on. But if Lamar Jackson shows anything, and walking in the door in 2018, Lamar Jackson, if you drop him into that lineup from day one or at any point during the season, he's more likely to succeed based on what was around there.
By the way, the Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, apparently on that day, it's been well documented, walked into the draft room and said, I want you to take Lamar Jackson.
He's the owner of the team and they ignored
him? And they ignored him and said, no, no, we have a plan, stick with our plan. And this is a guy who, you know...
Is that right?
Yep. Not necessarily being lauded for his football smarts, but can now still walk into that room with the guys who, by the way, he still employs and has now given them 3 first-round picks to work with in 2020 and say, I know better than you which player you should have taken 2 years ago that probably would have altered history for us. So Stephen Ross, I'm sure, will be watching this and will be just as excited to hear how this is going to turn out.
Or, yes, he might be very frustrated to hear, because possibly. I do think if you put Lamar Jackson on that team with some pieces on the offensive line, starting with Laremy Tunsil and with
only Laremy Tunsil.
Right, but with what piece. Ronnie Stanley has done, and I mean, it has a lot more to do with the guard play in Baltimore, but still, Laremy Tunsil is one of the great tackles in the NFL. Plus, you have Kenny Stills, who wouldn't have been traded before this season, and you would still have Devontae Parker, burners. That's what Lamar Jackson can do. He can still throw the deep ball. And you have Kenyon Drake doing what Kenyon Drake does as your feature back. You don't deal him away to Arizona. I think if all those pieces stay there, they would need to fix up the offensive line some, and they'd have to go get Greg Roman, to your earlier point, and that's not a small matter. But I kind of buy that. I don't know that Adam Gase would have signed off on all that. That's the question. But if they would commit fully, at least the pieces were there for Lamar Jackson to make some splash last year and carry that into 2019. I think one way or the other, they're not tanking right now.
No, my takeaway is all of that's nice, and it means that you have the pieces on paper. I think it's been proven now time and time and time and time again that Adam Gase is deficient as not just a head coach, but as an offensive coordinator in the NFL. So they would have been held back by the fact that he's just not capable.
I think that's fair, so maybe they move on from Adam Gase one way or the other and then fully commit to Greg Roman. Greg Roman wouldn't have moved up to Baltimore if Lamar Jackson wasn't there, so it stands to reason if Stephen Ross was excited about getting Lamar Jackson that his next call would be, hey, how did this decade start up in San Francisco? We're going to do the same thing.
Right.
I think that that could have succeeded, and what's fun about that from a divisional standpoint is you would have had to go Tom Brady, and you would have had 3 of the 2018 first-round quarterbacks around him.
Well, that's the case now.
Wait, it
Josh
is?
Josh Rosen is in
All
Miami.
Right. Well, I guess kind of, yeah. I guess sort
but
of, kind of, sort of.
I know what you mean.
I don't know where Josh Rosen winds up. But, yes, I think the bottom line is it means that we have to tip our cap to what the Baltimore Ravens did. Even if it was owed to pressure, remember, 56 or so weeks ago, the Ravens and John Harbaugh were ready to part ways, and Lamar Jackson saved that situation. John Harbaugh repays it by saying, let's build this whole thing around Lamar Jackson. And what do they say about risk takers and, the bold and all that kind
exactly.
of stuff?
Exactly. When they traded back into the first round with the Eagles to get that 32nd pick.
Yeah.
Correct?
Right. They take Hayden Hurst.
Who did the Eagles take with the pick that they got back from the Ravens?
I don't have the answer. I don't know. Well, we'll look that up.
We'll look that up.
Speaking of the Eagles, though, let's do one more of these.
Okay.
Are you having fun, Handsome?
I'm having a terrific time.
Eddie Spaghetti, do you like this or is it boring?
Yeah, I wanted to add with the Lamar thing is I think he's independent of whatever team he gets placed on. I think he is that good that he would change the franchise. So in the example of if he went to the Bengals, I still think he would be doing this no matter what. And I think
I agree with you. Sorry, just to...
Yeah.
I agree with you. I just think the one thing is there are only a certain number of teams in the NFL that would have said, we're willing to change our system and to do what... Like,
sure.
If you look at the Ravens, it was Joe Flacco. There's almost not a single more polar opposite to Lamar Jackson than Joe Flacco in terms of skill set. And the Ravens said, okay, we're going to change everything. There are so many teams that... especially on the coaching, they get players delivered to them, free agents or through the draft, who say, okay, I can make this guy work in my system. And there's hundreds of examples of, especially in free agency, being like, this guy's a free agent and worth a lot of money. Great, I'm going to bring him in here and then I'm going to put him in this slot and it's going to work out. It's like, well, yeah, but that's not what he did before. It's a different system. Why would you expect him to suddenly be able to succeed doing what you can do? The Ravens were open to that. I think there are plenty of teams in the league And I agree with you otherwise, but there are plenty of teams in the league who'd be like, okay, we're going to turn Lamar Jackson into the quarterback we want him to be.
I think it would be a milder version. It's not to say that Lamar Jackson
he would
couldn't
still
succeed
be
for any
absolutely.
Team. I just think that if you put him in spots where he was situations that required him to throw the ball around a little bit more, therefore making him a little less comfortable back there.
I'm thinking specifically about Adam Gase. I just think you put him in an Adam Gase offense. Adam Gase is very, very sure of himself, despite all the evidence to the contrary, that his system works, and he would have said, this is how you're going to play football.
Yeah. But
which is why he's offloaded a bunch of players that then have been successful. Kenyon Drake, and you know, you mentioned just now, Kenny Stills, Laramie Tunsil, who've been incredibly successful in the next place they went to, where they weren't constrained by, you've got to do it my way.
But even go with like the Billy Price example, where they took Lamar, the Bengals at a 21. To me, it's just Lamar's in a draft with four other quarterbacks that went in the first round, and obviously now it looks like some of those guys shouldn't have went ahead of him. But he was in a loaded quarterback draft, and for some reason, teams still didn't learn post Deshaun Watson, which we just talked about like guys who perform well in college. Like, let's trust them or not. I mean, Lamar played Deshaun Watson in college, and they were both phenomenal. And it's one of those things where the Ravens traded back. They took Hayden Hurst, who is not even their best tight end right currently. It's Mark Andrews. And then they
took... Who was taken a round later, right?
27, 28... Oh, Mark Andrews. Yeah. So then you take... You trade back in for Lamar, and it kind of gives the vibe of like, all right, cool, if it works out, great. We took him the last pick in the first round. Whereas, like, if a team took him at 21 or took him ahead of, like, where, you know, the Dolphins took Minka, it's like, okay, this is the franchise guy.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's right.
And you do kind of cater your offense to him. And, yeah, you're right. Like, you had Joe Flacco in there. John Harbaugh was about to lose his job. And he's like, all right, let's just give it a shot. And he's like, oh, this guy's actually really, really good. And then people last year, instead of just giving him the benefit of the doubt by saying that's just his rookie, you know, he's learning the game still. He has to shake off the, you know, the rust of college and learn learn the pros. They're like, well, no, he was just figured out because he's a run-only quarterback and he's not accurate. And then again this year, now he's showing that he could do both. And I think, like, kind of the perception of where he was drafted would change a lot.
Sure,
it
turns him into a luxury item that you can play.
You can take time
with. You know, the Jags are the other team. Instead of Taven Bryan, that if they take Lamar Jackson, again though, Blake Bortles, this would be coming off of their almost Super Bowl
one.
Run.
I mean, he was in the AFC Championship.
Right.
And people at that point were
but
like,
he still
Blake
would
Bortles
have been
can
the,
do this.
Lamar Jackson would be the starter now.
Yeah.
And there would
oh,
be no
sure.
Minshew mania or anything like that in 2019. All right, one more. I mentioned it at the top about the Eagles. Let's say Alshon Jeffrey catches that pass that glances off of Jeffrey's hands late in the Superdome. Let's say he catches it.
We're assuming here that Deshaun Watson didn't go to the Bears. Otherwise, this whole thing's way too complicated.
This is a brand new one.
Okay, all right.
Wipe the slate clean in your brain there, handsome.
Try.
Let's say the Eagles go on to score a touchdown. They win the game. Now they head to Los Angeles to play the Rams. Foles and the Eagles, you'll recall, when he had to go in for Carson Wentz for another season in a row there. He's the Super Bowl hero at this time. Now he goes to, in December of 2018, he goes with the Eagles, and they beat the Rams in L.A., so it's reasonable that they would have won again, and they go on to play the New England Patriots in the Super Bowl back-to-back. Unless I'm mistaken, I think that would be only the second time in NFL history.
Cowboys-Bills,
that's the only time that ever happened, right? That the two teams played each other back-to-back.
Yes.
I think so. And I'm trying to think of how often two teams have played more than one Super Bowl against each other. The Eagles and Patriots have
Dolphins,
played twice.
Redskins.
This would have been the third, and the Steelers and Cowboys have played three Super Bowls.
Right.
So I think that would have been only the second pair of teams to meet in as many as three Super Bowls against one another.
In as many as three.
Yes, and as many as three.
Yeah.
So now it is the Foles-Eagles once again playing the New England Patriots. Do you think, first of all, that those Eagles last year would have beaten that Patriots team, or do you think you get a different result this time around?
Boy, that's tough. I would say that Eagles team, I think Belichick beats...
I think so too.
I think in a revenge game, I think Belichick is like the even
essentially
more,
that's what it would come down
to. Same deal as we were talking about earlier. They designed the the perfect defensive game plan to take down the Rams. I think they come back and do it again against the Eagles. Because the Eagles were not as impressive as we wanted them to be last
season. No, the big difference last year versus the Super Bowl year was that they couldn't finish games by banging away with their big backs. They didn't have that in 2018. But even if Brady does win the Super Bowl last year, would they really have allowed Nick Foles to walk out the door ever again? If he takes them not just to the playoffs for a second straight year, not just wins a game in the playoffs again, but if he gets them to a second straight Super Bowl...
But doesn't win this time.
Say he loses this time. Would they really have allowed Nick Foles to get away? Even if they say, we're keeping Nick Foles and you, Carson Wentz. We're going
to
hold on...
Well, they have to deal one of them.
Would they have to get rid of one? I don't know. I think that Nick Foles, based on his comportment, the fact that he says, I don't mind being a backup, that's fine. And they said, no, we're going to let you go, Nick. You've done so much for Philadelphia. Go make a big starting quarterback level contract here. I think they would have tried to retain Nick Foles to maintain what they had going there. It felt like, okay, we got to, you know, get Foles out from over Wentz and let him be the star of this team. So I think they would have retained them both. But I think also if Frank Reich is in Indianapolis last year or if he moves to Indianapolis in 2018, in 2019, if you believe what the whispers say that Ballard and Reich knew about Andrew Luck considering retirement well before it was announced, months and months in advance of that, I think you could make a case that Carson Wentz and Frank Reich would both love the idea of, yeah, Jacoby Brissett's fine. We can make a go of it with him. Wait, Carson Wentz, you're willing to trade him? Hey, Howie Roseman, good times with Wentz and everything. If you're going to keep Nick Foles, you mind throwing me Carson Wentz? I think that's a reasonable trade.
I think especially at that time when that happened, I think that would have...
I mean, do you buy that in August or if not before, that maybe that the Ballard-Reich regime would say, we'll take Carson Wentz and liberate him, and then you don't have the controversy there in Philadelphia.
Although I think Andrew Luck, on the way out the door, as that was negotiated, definitely made the case for Jacoby Brissett to the Colts that, like, you don't need to worry. You have this guy here. You don't need to trade for anyone else. I think he was pretty persuasive with that team that you don't need to add any pieces. Jacoby Brissett is the answer.
Andrew Luck made that case?
Yes.
I mean, you know, how much weight Andrew Luck gets in Indianapolis. I hear you that they're friends.
I think
and
that
he believes
was part of that part of the conversation on the way
but
out.
But I
the
also
door.
Think Frank Reich knows Carson Wentz,
sure.
And if we assume that he fancied him and understood what his skill set was,
I don't disagree that I would have made that. But
I suspect that Frank Reich would understand that as well.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andy.
Let me help you move your boxes. Call Howie.
Yeah. Yeah, Andrew, you just quit on this team. We don't really care what your opinion is on this subject going forward. So there you go. Carson Wentz.
Wow.
Now, see, that would be fun. Yeah. And can you make a case that the Colts win a couple more games? I mean, they're not really that far off. They're 6-8. They got embarrassed.
I mean, Carson Wentz hasn't exactly set the world on fire this season either.
Touche. But I also think that, as we said, all through this offseason, there was no one under more pressure going into the year, with the possible exception of Freddie Kitchens, than Carson Wentz, coming off of back-to-back late season and postseason runs by his backup, Nick Foles. There's been a ton of weight on Carson Wentz, never mind the injuries to pass catchers and otherwise. I think Carson Wentz probably would embrace...
Let me get that for you, Dave.
I think deep in his soul, Carson Wentz wouldn't mind not being in Philadelphia under the white-hot light of that local media and the fan base and otherwise.
And being reunited with his old offensive coordinator.
I think so. There you go. What do you think, Spaghetti? Was that fun to do some...
Where
NFL
does that go? So where does that go next, then? Then what happens?
With what?
With the Colts, with Carson Wentz, with the Eagles, with Nick Foles, Jags without...
I think it's easy to say now, boy, Carson Wentz, another bad season here. He's just not the real deal. And Jared Goff, too. And that 1-2 punch, kind of like Jameis and Mariota, ultimately neither guy is going to wind up in the Hall of Fame.
Definitely better than that.
But if Carson Wentz... If you can move him on behind a really good offensive line, I know Philadelphia has had a good offensive line, but a mild upgrade in terms of pass catchers, the guys running the ball behind him, and a high-end defense in Indianapolis in that division. You know, the AFC South this season stronger than the NFC East. But I think at 6-8 and some Vinatieri misses, really that's the story. I know that that sounds like making excuses, but Vinatieri makes a couple of kicks along the way, and we're talking about the Colts in a very different light. And I think you can make a pretty decent case that they would have ended up winning the division this year with Wentz under center. Because Jacoby Brissett.
It'd be a great division. It'd be more interesting to have them in the mix right now, too.
There you have it. That's our little Christmas Eve.
I guess I got to go wrap all those gifts.
I've been trying to buy you time for a little while there. Eddie Spaghetti, final thoughts?
I like this exercise a lot. I like hypotheticals and going into the what ifs and seeing how pieces change and how the whole league as a whole really does differ with this exercise than it did pre these moves. So,
Eddie, what have you got, Mrs. Spaghetti, for Christmas?
Oh, I think we can take a guess.
I think I can too.
We are gonna probably do.
I was gonna suggest a diamond.
That is so not true.
What?
That's not gonna happen. No.
What if she's listening right now on Christmas Eve, hoping for a diamond?
She put a ring on that finger.
Why don't you do that, Eddie?
I think we're out of time,
guys. Maybe for 2020.
I think we're way out of
time. You know,
it
would be nice if he's going to do it, though. It'd be nice if he would do it here on the
right here on the show.
No, we're just going to travel somewhere. I'm just going to go somewhere, a city we want to see.
All right, traveled into this fake living room and do it here. That would be great.
Yeah.
All right, listen. Eddie Spaghetti, have a great Christmas holiday. Everybody behind the counter has been with us all season long here.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You do a great job.
Have a happy holidays.
I don't know what it is exactly they do back there, but they
push buttons and they say stuff to each other.
I hear them giggling a lot as well.
I hear the giggling and stuff. That's mostly when you say...
I didn't say anything.
Incisive but witty things, you know? They chuckle at that and then they say, you know what?
That was in October.
And then they say, like, yeah, you know what? Handsome's making a joke there and it makes me laugh, but deep down, he's right.
Right.
You know? He really cuts to the core of the human experience.
Okay, good. That's nice.
All right, listen. Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
with yours, handsome.
And to the little Damashets.
And I hate to go out on a Scroogey note. Enjoy the last week of regular season pro football action coming at you, everybody. We'll be back, though, after week 17 to get you right for the wild card round. Until then, have a happy holidays. And thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.
See you next year.
I get it.